CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with Richard Goldberg, Senior Advisor, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's previously served as Director for Countering Iranian Weapons of Mass Destruction at the National Security Council. And Ord Khitri, Professor Ord Khitri, a Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a law professor at Arizona State University, author of Lawfare, Law as a Weapon of War. Professor, I begin with you. What is to be done? Mr. Blinken is extremely ambitious come January 2022, and I'm presuming he will work with the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Linda Thomas-Greenfield. What are the limits of Secretary Blinken's power as a member of the United Nations Human Rights Council?
So, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. From a political and public relations perspective, the UNHRC Commission of Inquiry's effort to deem Israel an apartheid state is something that needs to be at the top of Secretary Blinken's agenda to stop. And the U.S. obviously, as one vote among the 47 members of the UN Human Rights Council, can't stop it on its own. But we have a precedent for stopping these libels against Israel, and that is the 1991 resolution at the UN General Assembly that overturned the Zionism is racism formulation that had been adopted by the UN General Assembly in 1975. And the UN is trying, the UNHRC is trying to do the same thing now, to attach the apartheid label to Israel. And there are ways that the U.S., if it works aggressively and assiduously with its allies, can head this off. We have a little bit of time. The Commission of Inquiry is scheduled to present its first report to the UNHRC in June 2022. Concerned UN members could seek to block funding for the Commission of Inquiry. We understand that the Commission of Inquiry is due to receive a lot of funding, perhaps for as many as 20 full-time staffers. The UN's Fifth Committee controls the budget, which has apparently not yet been passed. It's also worth noting that the resolution creating the Commission of Inquiry could be rescinded. It passed by a vote of 24 in favor, 9 against, and 14 abstentions. The U.S. was reportedly not active, but there are a number of member states of the UNHRC that the U.S. could team up with to try to get the resolution either rescinded entirely or amended. Support could come from, for example, there were a number of UN member states that abstained from the Durban 4 conference on the grounds that Durban was really focused on tarring Israel. There are also several countries which have interceded on Israel's behalf at the International Criminal Court that presumably would be willing to also intercede here. And finally, you have the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance with 30-some member states. Its definition of anti-Semitism includes, as an example, quote, claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Presumably, all of the members of the IHRA would be willing to go to bat against a UNHRC resolution which claims Israel is committing apartheid, which is in fact tantamount to calling Israel, the existence of the state of Israel, a racist endeavor.
Professor, all very good ideas. Who's on the other side of this argument? Who would resist Secretary Blinken's statements of abuse in the past and what is to be done now? Would there be someone standing up in the council and saying, you're wrong, Mr. Blinken?
Sure. The resolution in May was passed by a vote of 24 in favor. That's 24 out of the 47 member states. The resolution was drafted by the Palestinians, and it was introduced by Pakistan. And I would imagine that many of these same countries, obviously Pakistan and many of the countries that we listed before, some of the world's paramount human rights abusers, they like the idea of keeping the UNHRC's attention and budget focused on Israel rather than themselves, so they can be expected to oppose the effort to revise or rescind the mandate to go after Israel by this Commission of Inquiry.
Rich, I see we have some allies here on the UN Human Rights Council as well. France, United Kingdom, Germany, Netherlands, Austria, Denmark, Italy. With a crowd like this, you don't need many more friends. Are they ready to pitch in on this effort, Rich?
we have seen them in recent days do their part to some extent. There was, as you may know, the Durban conference very recently that the UN held. The United States and others boycotted attendance. This obviously has been an annual and over the years something we've reflected on since the original Durban conference, where they continue to affirm Zionism as racism. They have all kinds of events castigating Israel, and so we condemn this event. Do not participate in it, even though there are elements of it that we would love to support. The fact that it contains an obsession, an anti-Semitic obsession on Israel, we boycott. The council was going to adopt a resolution unanimously to simply support Durban and its goals, and we did get some allies like Britain in the lead to demand a vote and vote no on the resolution. The resolution still passed pretty handily, I would warn you. And so even with those allies together, our task is very challenging. I'll back up and simply say I am a skeptic and a critic of participation in the Human Rights Council. I do not believe that this organization can be reformed. I think it was right to pull out of it. I don't think it's right to go back into it. I think we need something else that is democracy only. However, if this administration is going to try to say, look at us, we are going to get this done when nobody else couldn't, then we need to hold them to account. We need to hold Secretary Blinken to his word. If this will be the top priority, then this is how they should be judged. If they do not, as Ord say, get the budget cut off for this commission, if they do not get a resolution to dissolve this commission, if they are unsuccessful, and in fact, the Human Rights Council, with the United States participating in it, labels Israel an apartheid state, then we should demand, as the taxpayers, that our representatives of government withdraw the United States immediately and not provide our tacit or explicit endorsement of such an outrageous political warfare assault on our closest democratic ally in the Middle East.
Professor, what Rich has laid out is a plan B. Do you hear this discussed at the State Department, to walk away in disgust? Is that a possibility?
Well, I think the Biden administration has just gone in, and Secretary Blinken has been quite clear that he believes that the U.S. can make a difference. He's talked about how he believes that when the U.S. engages constructively with the council in concert with our allies and friends, positive change is within reach. I think Rich is right that so far no U.S. administration has managed to achieve positive change at the UN Human Rights Council, and that this will be the principal test of whether the U.S. is able to make a difference, whether it manages to derail this insidious commission of inquiry looking into the false charge that Israel is engaged in committing apartheid.
And Professor, lawfare has a record of being used against Israel all the time. Does that make a difference here that we've seen this playbook before? We have about 30 seconds.
Yes. The concern here is that what the UN Human Rights Council is going to do is designed, it's clearly designed to feed into the International Criminal Court, which has teeth.
Right.
The International Criminal Court is already investigating Israel for alleged war crimes. The UNHRC wants to pressure the International Criminal Court to investigate Israel for apartheid.
Richard Goldberg, Senior Advisor, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Ord Khitri, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, also a law professor at Arizona State University, author of Lawfare, Law as a Weapon of War. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.